Thank you. Be seated.
The court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Bingham versus Dempster and Henderson.
At council table with me is Mr. Kent Hance. May it please this honorable court, this is a family law matter. The parties were in trial. They announced during the trial that they had settled the case in April. The decree was not entered until June. During that intervening period, the parties were living basically according to the agreement of the parties with respect to visitation. Under the terms of the decree, the father was named a joint managing conservator. But it's interesting to note that the father was given the exclusive right to determine medical care of the children and to determine their educational needs. Approximately 4 months after the parties announced in court they had settled, the father went back and asked for a change with respect to domicile. That was granted. The father and the children then moved to Fayette County, Shulenburg, Texas, where the children have lived since August of last year, over 6 months. The two children, both males, the oldest is 6 years old, is enrolled in St. Rose of Lima Catholic School. The youngest is now age 3, having had a birthday in March of this year. It is interesting to look at the history of this case briefly. First of all, it was filed in the 308. The judge there was sick, had diabetes, he later died. The parties agreed by Rule 11 stipulation that Judge Elliott would hear the case. Not only was there a Rule 11 stipulation, but they went to Judge Stovall, the administrative judge for the Second Administrative District.
Counsel, that's not in question any longer, isn't it? Hasn't there been a stipulation that this was a legal transfer from 311 to 308?
Except for the fact that the parties, the wife, now claims that after the date of the decree, that all other entries by Judge Elliott are void. She's now saying that after the date of the decree, Judge Elliott no longer had the right to sign any other orders. That's the only reason I mention it. And there are a lot of orders that took place after the date of the decree. The reason I mention Judge Stovall is because the order by Judge Stovall appointing Judge Elliott says that he is to complete the trial of any case and to pass on motions for new trial and all other matters growing out of the case. That is the order by the administrative judge. Judge Elliott was assigned to the 308 from his court. Subsequently, we're talking about the first transfer. All of you should have copies in front of you. Subsequently, Judge Elliott filed on his own motion an order transferring the case to the 311. So he would be hearing the case in his courtroom. To my knowledge, there was no objection to that at the very beginning. I think you can also point out that after the decree was entered, the husband was back in the court trying to move domicile. The wife then went in the 311, Judge Elliott's court, and filed a cross motion, then she filed an amended motion, and in both of her motions, she said, this court, 311, has acquired and retains continuing exclusive jurisdiction of this case. Two motions. Then, later...
Mr. Cook, let me ask, in Harris County, any family district judge can sit for any other family district judge?
Correct.
The family code, though, is pretty specific about the transfer of child custody cases, is it not?
Yes.
Is there any provision that permits a sua sponte transfer of a pending child custody case from one district court to another that happened to both be in Harris County?
Your Honor, there are sections of the government code that we've cited that provide for that, but the important thing to remember is...
They provide for the transfer of cases under the family code from one district court to another.
Until there's a final decree of divorce, they can do it. Once there's a final decree of divorce, that's the key thing. That court that entered the final decree of divorce becomes the court of continuing exclusive legal jurisdiction. And that is what this court has held in 1985 in the Alexander case. Then the husband filed a motion to transfer. That was sustained. Immediately after that was filed, the wife, for the very first time, goes back to the 308 and files a motion to set aside. After that, she then files an application for clarification in the 308. So for months, everything that's been done has been in the 311. Now, all of a sudden, the wife is back in the 311. The order was entered on December the 19th to transfer the case. The attorney for the husband... Sir?
Transfer the case where?
To Fayette County.
To Fayette County.
To Fayette County.
So this brings a new element into
it. A new element. We're now on the second transfer. The only reason I had to take the time to cover this is because...
Mr. Cook, before the transfer to Fayette County, the wife had gone back into 308?
Yes. When she did not like the order that Judge Elliott entered, the first thing she did was move to recuse Judge Elliott, and that was denied on a hearing. She then moved in the 308, even though the whole case was pending in the 311, she went back to the 308 and filed all the motions in the 308.
And who was the judge in the 308?
At that particular point in time, the judge had died. There was a new judge who was going to be assuming the bench, Judge Dempster, on the first of the year.
Did he assume any authority then at that time?
It was still in the 311th, Judge. But they subsequently had it transferred back.
To the 308?
To the 308.
And Judge Dempster was presiding?
Yes.
And then after it was transferred back to the 308, an order was entered by Judge Elliott transferring it from the 311th to Fayette County.
Judge Elliott transferred it on December the 19th before Judge Dempster took the bench, is my understanding.
Okay.
But the clerk never forwarded the file to Fayette County.
Never forwarded the file. But the key, if you look under...
Isn't that a key?
It's one of the things that's mentioned there, Judge, but the key is, when was it docketed in Fayette County?
Well, what's there to docket if the clerk in Fayette County has not received the file from a clerk in Harris County?
A certified copy of the order of transfer was sent, certified mail by the attorney for Mr. Bigham, to Fayette County. Okay. It was received on December the 29th. On January the 4th, the husband went up there and filed a motion for emergency temporary relief.
This is knowing that Judge Dempster has said to the clerk, do not transfer the file.
Judge Dempster hadn't said that at that time yet. She didn't say that until a few days later. Judge Dempster said there was notice given at a hearing on January the 3rd. On January the 4th, the husband filed a motion for emergency temporary relief Fayette County.
In Fayette County?
In Fayette County, asking that the wife not be allowed to run with the children. She was given the children and within 20 minutes ran with the children. A writ of attachment was issued and got the children back.
Ran to where? Harris County?
Back to Harris County. We have a jurisdictional dispute between two different judges. Judge Beck in Fayette County has entered an order that the case was transferred, that he docketed it. And docket is the key word if you look under 1105 and 1106. Now the question is, can you docket a case without having the file? He had the order. There's no doubt that he had the order. And you have to ask yourself, can you allow an administrative act, such as the forwarding of the file, to delay a judge on a family law matter who needs to take emergency action? And the answer is, that is a ministerial act, and the judge can docket the case. And he did docket the case. He docketed because Mr. Bigham had filed a motion for emergency relief in Fayette County on the 4th.
So after he docketed the case, he proceeded to hear the motion for emergency relief.
And it was after the 4th, of January, that Judge Dempster went and got the case transferred from the 311th back to the 308. That cuts off plenary jurisdiction. The transferring judge has 30 days in which he can do something. But once it is docketed under 1105 and 1106, the transferring judge has no more authority whatsoever. Now, some of the other things that we're complaining about today is, it's really interesting. Judge Dempster entered an order, and it said, I'm vacating everything that Judge Elliott did after the date of the divorce, because Judge Elliott had no jurisdiction after the date of the divorce. Well, that's totally untrue. All the parties were in his court, there was an order, but she vacates everything that he did after the date of the divorce. Then she gets Judge Henderson to vacate the transfer. And then she says, well, Judge Elliott's court had no jurisdiction, but I'm going to adopt the order of Judge Henderson, which vacated the fact that he didn't have any jurisdiction. Totally contradictory orders. Shortly thereafter, another thing that we're concerned with about Judge Dempster, she enters several orders. The first denies our client the right to ever see the children until they are 18 years of age. Then, okay, now let me tell you why this is so significant that she did this. Number one, because that was not the relief sought in the motions before her. There were no pleadings that specifically requested that, and there was no evidence. Here's the problem. The family code under section 11.11, 14.08, and 14.10 require specific findings before a judge can take this kind of action. And she has none of those findings in her order. She then became upset with Mr. Bigham and entered the following order, which we say violates his constitutional rights. Mr. Bigham is enjoined from instituting, prosecuting, requesting, participating, or pursuing any action in any other county, state, or nation attempting to obtain temporary or permanent orders concerning conservatorship. She enjoined him from doing anything
and
in the whole world.
And that was entered by the 311.
That was entered by, no, by the 308.
Does this proceeding run counter to that?
This proceeding? Yes. This proceeding is a direct violation of Judge Dempster's order. We are violating her order because we have been enjoined from taking any action in any state, anywhere. We feel, let me just go down to this because I've got the time. We're talking now about the alleged transfer from the 311 back to the 308. This court wrote in 1985 the Alexander case. Okay? And in the Alexander case, this court set out the requirements that you have to follow. Now, they wanted to transfer the case from the 311, Judge Henderson, back to Judge Dempster. But their motion to transfer was filed in the 308. So they had no motion pending in the 311. And what this court said in 1985 is, you cannot transfer a case back unless you've got a pending motion. And their pending motion was in the wrong court. This is an there are so many of these back and forth. Right now, the wife has visitation in Fayette County. It is supervised because the last time
supervised by the sheriff has to be present.
Yes.
This sounds unusually proprietary for the trial court. Trial judges have enough to do. Why would they fight over individual cases?
I think part of the problem was that Judge Dempster was a brand new judge, having never been a judge before, and I think there was a lot of activity around her. I find it unusual for a trial judge to enter orders that don't contain the necessary requirements under the family code.
That's probably because of the publicity of alleged corruption in Harris County Family Court?
Yes. She's one of the new judges that received the support of the people that were trying to change things. In this particular case, that one order was centered. Pursuant to that one order, the client appeared and asked for emergency relief in front of Judge Beck and got it. That is docketed. That was the necessary emergency step that had to be taken.
Somewhere in the record, I noticed that the judge in Fayette County ordered mediation.
Yes, he did. He's taken a very even-handed approach to trying.
Did that take place?
The only thing that I'm able to find out, because under the law, Your Honor, they can only tell that it was successful or not, and I think they're continuing the mediation, but that was my hope, too. It's a perfect opportunity for it to prevail. My opposing counsel, when Judge Elliott transferred the case, filed a motion to reconsider, but it was docketed in Fayette County before that was heard. He then filed two motions in Fayette County, both of which you have copied, pleading jurisdiction. What we're saying is, let me just answer one question first, though. Was the motion to transfer timely filed? No. It was not timely filed. Get that out up front at the beginning. It was not timely filed. His position, though, has to be, if it's not timely filed, number one, he must file a motion to reconsider. If that is cut off, then he must go to the transferee court. And at the transferee court, by the way, this is the case you need to read. It sets out the exact procedure. It's Ex Parte Bowers, and it's under footnote 11. It's 671 second, 936. Okay, he then went to the transferee court, Judge Beck, and he said, you don't have jurisdiction anymore, the 308 had it. But he never once told Judge Beck this was an untimely motion to transfer. And we've got the hearing, he didn't tell him in person, he filed two motions, and never once did he say to Judge Beck, this is not a timely motion to transfer, you don't have jurisdiction. He just said, the jurisdiction is in the 308, that's wrong, it's in the 311. And never once. Now, under Rule 52 of the Appellate Rules of Procedure, if he doesn't give the judge, tell the judge what the judge needs to know, he's waived. And our position is that the wife, through her attorney, has waived any problems or any claims that this motion was not timely filed. You cannot file two motions before a judge and say, Judge, the wrong court has jurisdiction, which is the one he cited, the 308, and not ever once tell the judge, Judge, the problem is, this was not a timely motion to transfer. And I've given you copies of both his motions. You've got a copy of the transcription of that hearing. Never once did he do that. My time is...
Mr. Cook, let me ask you.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to get around all this. It seems to me there may be a couple of issues here, and I'm trying to identify them. One issue is whether or not Judge Beck's docketing, quote unquote, the certified order, was docketing for the purpose of the family code.
Yes, sir.
That transferred jurisdiction to the 155th.
Yes.
And deprived the 311th of its plenary power to withdraw its order transfer.
Exactly.
That's the first issue. Isn't there a second issue on a court of continuing jurisdiction being the 311th on whether or not Judge Dempster, acting as judge of 308, has any jurisdiction whatsoever to enter any custody orders in this matter? At all.
She has no orders, no jurisdiction, she has nothing, because the 311th is the one that entered the decree. She has no right to enter a single thing, and there was no motion to transfer before the 311th.
And even if there had been a motion to transfer before the 311th to the 308, is there a mechanism for such a transfer to occur? Even had there been a motion for transfer from the 311th to the 308 after the 311th had the continuing jurisdiction, what would the basis for the transfer have been?
Well, the basis would have to be under Rule 11 of the Family Code, 11.06, but none of those were ever presented. There was no motion. Do I still have my 5 minutes, Ron?
You have about 3, yeah.
Sir?
I believe you have about 3 minutes. Well, wait a minute, excuse me. 3 minutes before the first 15. You are not into your rebuttal time.
Okay.
Yet. Any other questions? The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
Hey, please, court. My name is Wally Mahoney. I practice law in Pasadena, Texas, in Harris County, Texas. And I think, with all due respect to Mr. Cook, I think we're off on the wrong track already. And I think part of that is the fact that I've tried this case. And since day one, I've represented Mrs. Bigham. So I'm going to ask you, not put aside what you're thinking, but at least follow with me what actually happened in this case, because a lot of what has been said here is incorrect. Let me first speak to the issue of if there's a mechanism for a Harris County District Court, Family Trial Court, to transfer a case within the Family Trial Division of Harris County. And on file with this court in their brief, and that's one thing about Mr. Bigham's position, if he argues long enough, he's going to have to come back and support Mrs. Bigham's position. Because they're saying to this court, there's no mechanism for two family courts in Harris County to transfer cases, and there is, and it's in our local rules that have been approved by this court. And if you'll look at Judge Henderson's order, where he transfers this case with a written order, not the way Judge Elliott transferred this case, if in fact it was ever transferred, with a docket notation, but with a written order, and he cites specifically which provisions under our local rules, approved by this court, allow for such a transfer. That happened on January 6th of 1995, and it was after that order was signed that Judge Dempster then began proceedings and entered temporary orders in this case. Not before, not while she didn't have any jurisdiction, but after the case had been transferred, pursuant to our local rules. This case started out...
Why didn't Judge Henderson just keep the case?
And this is something that if the court will review the transcript of the proceeding, we're in a hearing in front of Judge Dempster on January 6th, 1995. At that time, I had filed an application for writ of habeas corpus, and I had also filed a motion to modify for temporary orders. As the court well knows, an application for writ of habeas corpus can be heard by any district court. There is no court or requirement that an application for writ of habeas corpus be heard by a court of continuing jurisdiction. That was set in the 308th District Court on January 5th and then reset to January 6th. We appeared on that writ of habeas corpus on January 6th before Judge Dempster. It was an emergency situation. The case needed to be heard. Judge Dempster conferred with Judge Henderson, who was the court of the 311th District Court, pursuant to my motion for direction from these two trial courts, because we didn't care whether Judge Henderson heard the case or Judge Dempster heard
the case. Let me back up just a minute. This all occurred on January the 6th.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Didn't the court in Fayette County exercise emergency jurisdiction on January 5th?
I want to talk about that right now.
Hope you will.
On January 3rd, well within the plenary power of the trial court in Harris County to set aside their order transferring the case to Fayette County, we filed a motion to set aside that transfer. If you'll look at the review of the hearing on January 5th, you'll see that Mr. Parker, Senator Parker, came in representing Mr. Bigham, and he filed a special appearance in the Harris County Trial Court, and he does not mention anything about proceedings in Fayette County. He says he's entitled to 3 days' notice, and that this case has been heard in the 311th and should be in the 311th, not the 308th. And he's got a pleading, Judge, that if you'll look at it, it says those very things, that this case should be in the 308th and that he's entitled to 3 days' notice.
Should Judge, be in the 308th?
311th, Judge.
And but he was in the 308th.
Pardon? He was standing in the 308th physically, Judge.
He was standing in the 308th.
That's correct.
Your motions were filed in the 308th?
My motions were filed in the Bigham case, Judge. There's a cause number.
The Bigham case had been in the 311th for some time, hadn't it?
Judge, the Bigham case had been in the 311th under an assignment from Judge Stovall for Judge Elliott to hear the case out of the 308th. If you look at the assignment, Judge, it says very clearly this case is pending in the 308th. Judge Elliott is assigned by Judge Stovall.
Was any objection made during the course of all these entire proceedings up to that point to the jurisdiction of the 311th? Where Judge Elliott was presiding?
No, Judge, but there was no need to object to the jurisdiction.
I'm talking about the divorce, all the stipulations, the decree, the custody orders that were initially entered. They were entered under a docket in the 311th, were they not?
They were entered in the Bigham cause, Judge. And
what court was that in?
That was in cause number in both the 311th and the 308th because we were physically in Judge Elliott's courtroom, Judge. But if you look at, for example, the divorce decree, it was signed by Judge Peavy. That's the 246. They moved these cases and files, Judge, to the court where the judge who is going to hear the case is going to hear the case. I don't pick which judge is going to hear that case. They're assigned, and they're signed not willy-nilly, but by written orders. And when Judge Elliott makes a docket notation, that the case is transferred.
Go on from there. Okay. You're still arguing about whether the case ever was legitimately in the 311th or not.
Well, I'm actually just arguing on the issue of transfer because I think it's a critical issue in the issue of docket.
In other words, if 311th never had jurisdiction, there's no divorce.
Judge, that's not correct because...
How can a court that doesn't have jurisdiction grant a divorce?
And I understand, Your Honor, but there is no question that Judge...
In other words, at some point along the line, you apparently conceded this jurisdiction.
And I don't have any problem with that, Judge.
But that automatically divests the 308 of jurisdiction, does it not?
No, Judge, because on January 6th, 1995, Judge Henderson, the duly elected judge of the 311th District Court, signed an order pursuant to the local rules in Harris County.
This is 2 days after the 155th had exercised emergency jurisdiction.
And that's what we need to talk about, okay, because that's the critical issue. The reason that I talked about January 5th and January 6th is I want to...
Mr. Mahoney, I'm...
Yes, Your Honor.
Judge Gamage's indulgence, just a quick question. Do you have any authority with you that discusses the issue of whether or not a local rule in Harris County can permit the transfer from one family district court to another family district court without complying with family code regarding items of continuing jurisdictional or child custody?
Judge,
And I'm just asking the name of the case, and you can go on.
But I think that if you look at those statutes, you'll see that 1106, which deals with transfers, does not cover and does not deal with in-county transfers, Judge. That's the statute that deals with continuing jurisdiction and transfer of cases between counties, not in-county, Judge. It is strictly a venue statute. In other words, is venue proper in Harris County or is venue proper in Fayette County? That statute does not apply at all and doesn't require anything for in-county transfers. That's a transfer of proceedings within the state of Texas from one county to another county, and that's the statute that says very clearly Mr. Bigham's initial motion to transfer the case from Harris County to Fayette County was not timely filed because that statute specifically states the motion to transfer should be filed with the first pleading in the case. Mr. Bigham didn't file his motion to transfer until the case had been pending.
Well, I'm point. You're just saying the statute only deals with inter-county transfers.
That's
it doesn't
correct.
Deal with county transfers among district courts. I'm sorry. Go ahead and answer Judge Gammage's question.
Within Harris County, our transfers are dealt with by our local rules, which allow that movement of those cases so the judges who are available can then proceed with those cases. When we file our motion to transfer on January 3rd, we fax it to all of Mr. Bigham's attorneys. And Mr. Bigham immediately sees that there's a possibility that the court in Harris County is going to set aside the transfer of the case to Fayette County. It's only then that he goes to Fayette County on January 5th and gets, and this is critical, an ex parte restraining order. No one calls me. I've been on this case for a year and a half. No one sends me a fax saying we're getting ready to go to Judge Beck and ask for a restraining order to restrict your client's access to Fayette County. No one notifies me. They conduct a proceeding in this case without ever telling Mrs. Bigham anything about it. And they get Judge Beck to sign an ex parte order so that when she goes to pick up her two-year-old child in Fayette County on January 5th, she's served with a restraining order that says she can't leave the county. Now, Judge Dempster in Harris County, who just had a hearing on January 5th when Mr. Bigham was present with three or four of his lawyers, has ordered her to be back in Harris County on January 6th to continue her hearing for emergency temporary orders. She takes her children and she comes back to Harris County because she's got an order out of Harris County that says she has possession of these children for this period of time. She knows nothing about any proceedings in Fayette County. She's never been served with notice of those proceedings, never had an opportunity to say, hey, wait a minute, Judge Beck, this isn't quite right. There's a lot more here than just Mr. Bigham's affidavit and whatever they heard when Mr. Weed, another one of Mr. Bigham's attorneys, presented a motion to Judge Beck without any notice to the other side. Then on January 6th, they show up in the Harris County courthouse. After they've gone to Judge Beck's house, I guess, at 7 o'clock at night on the 5th of January, and if you look at the writ of attachment where Judge Beck orders these two young children picked up by the Sheriff's Department, and this is all on the record from the hearing on January 6th, the constables from Fayette County and the constables in Harris County come to Ms. Bigham's house at 10 o'clock at night and pick up these two small children and take them back to Fayette County, where they've been and where they are at this time. They're not living on a ranch with their dad. They're held prisoner in Fayette County under Judge Beck's order. That's what the status is right now. And Mrs. Bigham only gets to visit with her children with a deputy posted at her front door and a deputy posted at her back door. And if she wants to take one of these children to a basketball game or a softball game, someone from the Fayette County Sheriff's Department has to go with her.
Did you ever argue timeliness to Judge Beck?
No. But that hearing's on January 18th, Judge. On January 6th, Judge Henderson has signed an order setting aside the transfer. Judge Dempster has entered temporary orders, and so timeliness is no longer an issue. They're here presenting that for the first time in this court. But if you think about it, when I'm ordered to appear in front of Judge Beck on January 18th, I've already got an order out of the 308th District Court and out of the 311th District Court in Harris County that set aside the transfer. Why would I order timeliness? My point was there's only one court of continuing jurisdiction. It's in Harris County. It's
might
not.
Be because that court was asserting jurisdiction. You might want to order the timeliness, argue the timeliness question.
And if the court of review, if the court will review the record, I presented the history of this case to Judge Beck. The issue was not whether the motion to transfer was timely. The issue was which court had continuing exclusive jurisdiction.
These trial judges just don't have enough to do. The three of them need to work on the same case.
Judge, I can't tell you the answer to that question. I'm one lawyer. There's 12 on the other side. I'm doing everything I can to present a very narrow legal issue, and that is under 1106M, which says very clearly what constitutes docketing. Was this case ever transferred?
What, this is kind of an ancillary matter, but what justification is there for the January 17th injunction against Mr. Bigham pursuing any kind of cause of action proceeding?
And I would love the court to read the record of the January 6th hearing, the January 12th hearing, and the January 17th hearing, because the court will then see and put yourself in the position of a trial court who's in the middle of hearing an emergency motion, and that at the end of the day, on January 6th, we get a stay from the First Court of Appeals where they stop those proceedings. And they stay those proceedings because Mr. Bigham and his group of lawyers have gone to the First Court of Appeals in Harris County and filed an application for writ mandamus and led that court to believe that the case had in fact been docketed in Fayette County, which was not true. We are then staying.
If that's the case, looks like the appellate court could impose such sanctions as would be appropriate.
Judge, I filed my motion.
Why does a trial judge enjoin a party from taking any action that they're legally entitled to take?
I guess I was taking too long to answer the question. On January 12th, when the court recesses the hearing, Mr. Bigham is nowhere to be found, Judge. And if you'll look at the record of those proceedings, you'll discover that despite the fact that he's a lawyer and knows this case is in trial, despite the fact that he has numerous lawyers representing him, he's disappeared. And the children have disappeared. They can't be found in Fayette County. They can't be found, and the child that they talk so wonderfully about is enrolled in school, did not go to school, and so Judge Dempster is beginning to perceive that Mr. Bigham has flown with the children, and there's evidence, Judge, in the record. Mrs. Bigham got on the stand and testified. I've called his office where he works. They won't tell me where he is. I've called his house where his parents live. They're not there. No one knows where they are. I've called his other place of employment. No one knows where they are. It appears he's beginning to run. We
so
come
assuming,
back.
Assuming that's true, how would that justify this order?
Well, Judge, if in fact he is thwarting the jurisdiction of the Harris County Court, I think the trial court has the ability to enjoin a party from proceeding in another court. I think this court, and I know this court has the authority to stop either the Harris County Court or the Fayette County Court from proceeding until this issue is straightened out. It's not an infringement on his constitutional rights. It's saying to Mr. Bigham, come before the proper court, present your issues to the proper court, and allow the trial court to rule. But don't run. People take it real serious when they think litigants may be leaving the jurisdiction of the court with the children the subject of the lawsuit. Look at Judge Beck. How is he justified in confining my client's access to her children to Fayette County? What's so wonderful about Fayette County that my client can't visit with her children where they've lived for the first 5 or 6 years of their lives and have only been in Fayette County for 6 months? These children were brought up in Harris County. Okay. Transferred. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about docketing, and I'm almost done. 1106N. On receipt of the files, documents, and orders from the transferring court, the clerk of the transferee court shall docket the suit and shall notify all parties. I mean, this is not subject to a great deal of interpretation. This is black letter law. They filed affidavits in the First Court of Appeals where they state they know this case was never transferred, yet they're getting ex parte orders in Fayette County when they acknowledge in their sworn, and we're talking about the lawyers swearing to the First Court of Appeals, that they contacted the clerk, they knew the case was never transferred out of Harris County, and yet they're proceeding in another court. And certainly, Judge Dempster could take offense at someone thwarting her jurisdiction and basically just saying, we're going to do whatever we want to do. And that's what was happening here. So she entered orders to protect these children. She entered orders she believed were appropriate. Mr. Bigham has nothing more to do than to come before Judge Dempster, which he has not done since he's gotten the protection of Judge Beck, and gotten Judge Beck to confine his children to Fayette County, he needs nothing more but to come and testify in Harris County that he'll comply with that court's orders, and he'll have access to his children and the ability to visit with his children. But that court is the court of continuing legal jurisdiction, continuing exclusive jurisdiction. Judge Beck's orders are essentially void, and there can't be two courts of continuing jurisdiction. If this case was never transferred to Fayette County, everything Judge Beck has done is void. We need this court to move as soon as possible to correct the situation. I understand that you folks have lots of cases presented to you, but this is a very, very difficult situation for these litigants. They need some resolution as quickly as you can give it to us. And if you decide the case is in the 311th in Harris County or the 308th, is not really a major issue. The major issue is venue is in Harris County, Texas. And this case needs to proceed in Harris County, Texas. And right now, no party and no court can take action to protect these children but this court.
And Mr. Hawley, the children have been used here as pawns by two adults who are acting juvenile, in my view, and by courts who cannot cooperate with one another and issue orders countermanding each other's orders. Mr. Cook stated that mediation is a possibility. Is that a viable option?
Judge, I can state unequivocally, because I've been involved in the mediation process with this case, that it is not, and it is at loggerheads awaiting the ruling of this honorable court.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you. Mr. Cook, do you agree that the sole issue in this case is whether or not this matter was docketed on the docket of the 155th? If it was docketed, you win, and if it wasn't docketed, you lose?
It is one of the pivotal issues. And when a judge signs a motion to transfer, the assumption is he wanted the case transferred, and ministerial acts of delay in a clerk and photographing a file should not be cause for saying that the transfer did not take place.
Would it cause, if this court were to hold that the physical delivery of the file was not required, but simply the photocopies, certified copies, would be sufficient for docking on the record for satisfying the statute, does that pose any particular problem in the family law area for this docking issue?
Not really.
If the court says the statute literally says the files of the clerks will be transferred, and the court says that unless the district clerk physically transfers the files to the new court, then docking doesn't occur, does that pose a significant problem for...
There is case law that says that transferring documents is merely a ministerial act, and I don't think a ministerial act can override.
Well, you could order, I mean, yes, but from that point of view, the court could order that the clerk do what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
But assuming that the trial court withdraws its order of transfer, the statute seems to say the transfer is not complete until the files, in fact, are docketed. So my question to you is, assuming that the trial court has changed his or her mind and has decided they don't want the case transferred, does it pose a problem for family practitioners to read the rule literally that the physical files from one clerk must be delivered to the clerk of the other court before that docking occurs? Does that pose a problem? I don't think
that that is really what the rule says. The exact sentence is, the jurisdiction of the transferring court terminates on the docketing of the case in the transferee court. It doesn't say upon the docketing and receipt of the files. Jurisdiction of the transferring court is cut off upon docketing. It doesn't say that you have to both docket and have the files. That's the literal reading.
Thank you.
Counsel said that everything that Judge Beck did was void. It was not void. There's no way it could be void. Let me go over three quick points, and we've covered the first one.
Judge, let me ask, did your client have notice prior to the entry of Judge Beck's order that the motion to transfer might be rescinded?
There was a motion filed in the 308, the wrong court, to set it aside. Okay? And the certificate of service, my understanding of the certificate of service on that says that there will be a hearing on it to set it aside. But it was filed in the wrong court.
But your client had noticed that before he went to Judge Beck and got this other order?
I don't know, Your Honor, personally, if he did.
Did your
The certificate of service says it was sent certified mail, return receipt requested. It does not say by fax.
What were the facts? Did your client have actual notice or did his counsel have actual notice?
I don't know, Your Honor. I know that it was filed in the wrong court. And they talk about my client running to Judge Beck. My client has no more run to Judge Beck than they have run to Judge Dempster. I think the parties should want an open and fair hearing. I think that's all any litigant is entitled to. Let me just tell you the relief.
Is opposing counsel correct or incorrect about the recently promulgated local rules for family courts of various kinds?
I looked at the recently promulgated rules, and which one are you talking about? That they can transfer it between themselves?
Yeah, at any time in the proceeding, whether or not...
Well, that's what Judge Elliott in his affidavit that we filed with you said they can do before the decree is entered. Judge Elliott filed an affidavit...
We're the Supreme Court. Surely we're not bound by a rule that we've approved ourselves by what a former district judge says our rule means.
No, he said that was the rule at that time.
I'm interested in the rules on January 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th.
I don't think they've changed from the date of this, when the rules have been...
Well, you allege, I believe, that at this point in time, that is January of 1995,
yes,
two Harris County district judges did not have the authority to transfer this case from one docket to the other.
Because under this court's decision in Alexander, you must have a motion because the 311th had become the court of exclusive jurisdiction because it entered the final decree.
Pre-transfer applies only before a decree is entered. Once the decree is
entered,
you have to have a motion.
Once the decree, it becomes exclusive continuing jurisdiction.
Continuing jurisdiction court.
Can I have one sentence, Judge?
One sentence.
Okay, one sentence.
No more than two semicolons.
We've asked this court to direct Judge Dempster and Judge Henderson to vacate any orders entered after the transfer, to direct Judge Dempster to transfer the entire file to the 155th. In the alternative, we've asked this court to order Judge Dempster to vacate her order of January 6th that Judge Elliott was without jurisdiction, and in the alternative, to vacate those orders holding that our client has no right of visitation. Now, if for any reason this court...
Any other questions?
Thank you, Jim. That concludes the argument in the second call. The court will stand in recess. We'll see Mr. Adams to the chambers.
Right.